You cannot create a home using tools and a workforce alone. You need the bricks and mortar. Likewise, cancer needs proteins and fat for biomass and glucose for the energy to build new cells. If you starve a cancer cell of its energy from glucose alone, it redirects to other sources of energy instead, like glutamine and fat. The trick is to starve it of its critical fuel pipelines. 3. Patience. Weakening and starving may not shrink tumors overnight. It may take many months to use this method, but once the cancer is weak, then other treatments like chemotherapy, radiotherapy, intravenous vitamin C, and other drugs like NSAIDs and statins can be employed far more effectively and, crucially, at less toxic levels to pick off the remaining cancer cells by triggering apoptosis. 4. Combine forces. Starving cancer by maintaining a very strict diet alone is not a feasible or realistic option for most patients. So combining other approaches, off-label low-toxicity drugs, a personalized but not extreme diet, specific supplements, and timely exercise will all work synergistically. Once starved, triggering apoptosis by less toxic methods, the caspase cascade and low-dose chemotherapy will be far more effective if you have already made the cancer weak and vulnerable. If you only target fast-dividing cells, as current conventional cancer protocols dictate, yet ignore the stem cell, you allow the cancer to continue to flourish and become more aggressive. Metronomic, short pulsed intervals, low-dose chemotherapy given every 4 to 8 days compared to the maximum tolerated dose every 21 days was shown to boost anti-tumor T-cell immunity. Triggering apoptosis of cancer cells beyond chemotherapy. This, in a nutshell, is my protocol to starve and defeat cancer. Apoptosis refers to active, programmed single-cell death, different to necrosis, which is a passive process. In cancer, the apoptotic process is regulated by 1. Caspases, cysteine-dependent, aspartate-directed proteases. These carry out cell death duties with minimal effect on surrounding tissues. These are activated in the mitochondria. 2. BCL2 BAX. These regulate apoptosis and can either promote apoptosis or rescue the metabolic function of the mitochondria and prevent apoptosis. 3. FAS, first apoptosis signal receptor, is a death receptor on the surface of cells that leads to programmed cell death, apoptosis, leading to a triggering of caspase 8. Metformin uses this route to cause apoptosis. Death by caspases. Caspase activation is an underutilized and safer option for promoting cancer cell death. Although it might take longer to achieve, the natural caspase cascade is activated when the antioxidant redox status glutathione oxidant balance of the cancer cell is altered in the mitochondrial membrane. Activation of apoptotic caspases results in the generation of a cascade of signaling events and the controlled demolition of cellular components, a less damaging approach than using chemotherapy alone, which causes free radical release by sheer damage to the DNA. Mebendazole, acting like the chemotherapy drug vincristine, but much safer, destroys fast-dividing cells by disrupting the alignment of spindles in dividing cancer cells. It also triggers the caspase cascade by inactivating BCL2 and the release of cytochrome C. All these processes will promote apoptosis in cancer cells. At the beginning of cell transformation, a rise in ammonia and lactic acid levels initially fuels further growth. But after this, the cancer needs to tightly control its redox status, or homeostatic regulation of its oxidant level, to ensure its immortality. Cancer cells survive by keeping glutathione, the master antioxidant, at a high enough level to keep the cancer cell from self-destruction. Reducing levels makes these fast-dividing cells defenseless. If glutathione is lowered and ROS, or reactive oxygen species, levels are increased, the cancer cell becomes unstable and unable to sustain itself, and apoptosis results. How to raise ROS, oxygen-free radicals? 1. Intravenous vitamin C. I have witnessed people complaining that intravenous vitamin C made them worse. This is indeed likely to be true in some cancers, as intravenous vitamin C blocks glycolysis, glucose, so it will push glutamine-driven cancers to be even more aggressive if they have failed to block off other glutamine fuel lines first. This was demonstrated by Professor Michael Lisanti in Salford, Manchester, blocking glutamine pathways, glutamine-fueled OxPhos, and fatty acid oxidation. With doxycycline, before administering the intravenous vitamin C with berberine, was many more times effective, and a synthetically lethal combination across many cell lines. On its own, intravenous vitamin C is 10 times more lethal to cancer stem cells than chemotherapy. When this is combined with doxycycline, the synergy multiplied to being 100 times more effective. Delivering intravenous vitamin C on its own is a risky strategy unless you have a strongly glycolytic tumor like endometrial cancer. In 2000, I had used aspirin, berberine, and intravenous vitamin C together, which had blocked many pathways. You can now work out which ones by checking my MetroMap. It was during this period that my antigen markers dropped to a level of only 40, the lowest they ever reached. It would be wise to use doxycycline or niclosamide alongside the intravenous vitamin C to prevent glutamine-driven OxPhos becoming upregulated. Another mistake is that the intravenous vitamin C is not delivered at a high enough dose or given often enough to produce hydrogen peroxide and reduce glycolysis. Many complementary practitioners like to administer it at least 3 times a week. Once a week is not enough, as shown by the Danish study on prostate cancer, which used intravenous vitamin C only once a week as a monotherapy at 60 grams and probably pushed the cancer into a more aggressive glutamine fat-driven phenotype. As prostate cancer uses glycolysis the least, it is no surprise that this study failed to show any benefit. 2. Other oxygenating methods. Look into ozone, which I had with my intravenous vitamin C infusions. Hyperbaric oxygen therapy, HBOT, chambers, and DMSO. Some people even exercise with portable oxygen tanks. HBOT can be useful to help prevent neuropathy during certain chemotherapy infusions. 3. Artemisinin. This can be quite toxic and should only be used under the guidance of a qualified doctor, despite being natural. 4. Niclosamide. Pre-treatment with niclosamide sensitizes cells to apoptosis with hydrogen peroxide, intravenous vitamin C. Given its many other targets, STAT3, NOTCH, OxPhos, NFKB, WNT, beta-catenin, mTOR, this old worming drug has risen to one of my top drug choices, especially for more aggressive glutamine cancers, if you can get hold of it. How to lower glutathione? Glutathione is made from glutamate, from glutamine, glycine, and cysteine. The trick is to lower cysteine as the body has ready access to glycine and glutamate. To lower cysteine, avoid L-cysteine and NAC supplements, whey protein, and asparagus. Possibly even avoid bone broth during a kill phase. Certain antioxidants also need to be avoided. CoQ10, low-dose vitamin C, and vitamin E will all neutralize the free radicals you need. Sulforaphane, despite its other beneficial effects on cancer, reduces the activity of caspase 3 while upregulating BCL2, which puts the brakes on apoptosis, so this needs to be stopped during a kill phase, as does luteolin. However, pre-treatment with chloroquine, stopped 12 to 24 hours prior to chemo, showed it sensitized cells to apoptosis through mitochondrial caspases. Sulforaphane and luteolin might also sensitize the cells to the caspases. 1. Statins get a bad rap for their glutathione-lowering effect in other diseases, e.g. cardiovascular, but this is a huge benefit for cancer patients, as I discovered in 2003. Statins increase the cancer kill of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs by 5 times. Sadly, the dangers of statin therapy are everywhere you look nowadays, with grim predictions of dementia, sore muscles, and an increase in type 2 diabetes. These effects take mostly years to develop, if they have any effect on you at all. I had none. And these side effects can be stopped or reduced by the addition of resveratrol, metformin, berberine, and a few supplements like omega-3 oils, squalene, shark liver oil or olive oil, and vitamin D. Avoid CoQ10, as this will help the cancer cell recycle glutathione. No good if you want to cause apoptosis through the caspase cascade. It is a fact that many cancer patients are now refusing a statin because of the hype of side effects, yet still allowing themselves to undergo high-dose chemotherapy. These are worlds apart when it comes to toxicity. Treating cancer is completely different to treating cardiovascular disease, and I see many patients failing to grasp the unrealistic fear of statins when compared to the nature and prognosis of their disease, such as the level of scaremongering in the media. 2. Feverfew, parthenoloid, a natural botanical, lowers glutathione, generates reactive oxygen species, and activates caspase 7, 8, and 9. 3. Sulforaphane. Some cancers, like pancreatic, are very hard to treat with chemotherapy. It is a mass of extremely resistant and metabolically adapted cells. Lowering glutathione and resensitizing the cancer to chemotherapy with sulforaphane has been shown to be helpful, which might be the extra nudge it needs to send it into a death spiral. The Press, Pulse Strategy. Professor Thomas Seyfried, author of Cancer as a Metabolic Disease, likes the press pulse approach. He believes the cancer environment needs to be stressed by reducing nutrient availability, using the ketogenic diet and a glycolysis inhibitor, 2-deoxyglucose, combining with EGCG, hyperbaric oxygen therapy, HBOT, and the macropinocytosis inhibitor, chloroquine sulfate. He is achieving success in glioblastoma patients with this cocktail, which shows proof of this multi-pronged starving concept. If you look at my metro map, you can see which routes are blocked with this combination. He tried pulsing DON, the powerful glutamine inhibitor in animals, but he found this was too toxic, with the risk of serious gut and brain damage. He is a firm advocate of ketogenic diets, which seem to be more successful for brain tumors, which is a mystery to me, as these tumors appear to have an appetite for ketones. But perhaps it is the cocktail that is the answer. If you try this diet, which does benefit some patients, it would be wise, in my view, to add other starving modalities, like berberine, which targets the acetate ketone pathway by blocking